Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Here we go. Is right. The NFL season starts tonight. Let me think about this here. I think I might need this instead. I love Supertramp, but... Yeah, there you go. My producer, Ethan Hannaford, today has this ugly, ugly purple shirt on. How the hell are you a Vikings fan? I don't get that at all.
Well, like many St. Louisans, I was once left homeless about 10 years ago, and, I married into a Vikings family.
Really?
That's the answer. It's as simple as that.
So sad for you, Ethan. I can't believe that happened.
There's
much better families.
I have plenty of years of pain ahead of me.
Yeah, you probably do. Look, they're not looking very good right now because they have quarterback issues, but let's talk a little football here as we... start the kickoff of the NFL season tonight in Kansas City. Alex Gold is with us from Kansas City 610 Sports Radio. Alex, I understand it's a beautiful day like we have here in St. Louis and Kansas City as well, and you're in the press box. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, great to be on with you guys. Yeah, it's a nice night. A little warm right now. It's supposed to cool off a little bit and maybe a chance of some rain. But you could definitely, as you walk into the parking lot, the tailgating, the smell of that, there's nothing better. And as you said, football's back and you can kind of feel that energy just walking around the parking lot.
Well, what are you excited for? Because I cannot wait. Look, I just made a little lineup change here and I took George Pickens off of my fantasy team and I put Xavier Worthy. I drafted my reach for Xavier Worthy in my fantasy league, Alex, because I think he's going to be a superstar.
Well, look, this is the portion of the season where there's a chance that he might have some of that with Hollywood Brown out. Now, typically, Andy Reid waits to utilize rookies. You know, usually he needs to see them prove to him that they have a good grasp of the offense. But because Hollywood Brown is not available tonight and they want to show everybody basically they got this deep passing attack again that they haven't had since they had Tyreek Hill, I think he'll get some opportunities. I don't think he's going to have like the second or third most snaps of the entire wide receiver group necessarily, but I think he'll get some opportunities, some shots down the field. You know, his longest reception total tonight over under is set at 20.5. And so I think that's in play tonight, which should be good for you in the fantasy football world.
Yeah, and look, I know that he's a young player, but because of Hollywood Brown, that is one of the reasons that I'm starting him. But let me get an update. What's the, you know, prediction on him getting back?
So the thought is right now that there's a chance next week, but most people believe we're talking probably week 3 against the Atlanta Falcons, just based off of the timeline of Tyreek Hill, who had a similar injury, and you just looked at the weeks and how long that took. Plus, it's so early in the season, and this team, you know, is going to be in the postseason. There's a chance they're going to be back in the Super Bowl, so it's a grind of a year. They're not going to push anything and jeopardize the meat of the schedule and ultimately the postseason. So I think next week is probably still up in the air. Week 3 is more of the realistic target for him.
So what are, you know, where everybody's talking, is there a three-peat possible? Look, the way that I see this, and I'm no expert, but this is potentially a better offense than the Chiefs had last year. And then the question marks might be on the defensive side. And I can't remember what's the injury situation right now on the defense.
Well, they're in better position, I think, entering the season than they were a year ago. One, just because literally in week 1, they didn't have Chris Jones or Travis Kelce last year. But this entire team this year, they're better heading into the season than they were a year ago. I think this year's team is closer to the team that actually went to the Super Bowl and played the Bucs. I know they lost to the Bucs, but at that point in time, the offensive line had fallen apart. But this, to me, has a chance to be the best team. And I know it's scary for those that aren't Chiefs fans, baby, but the best team that Mahomes has had. I think it has the ability to do that when you look at a top 10 offense getting back to being that after being 14th in points per game a year ago. I think they're back in the top 10, maybe top 5. And defensively, even if they were to take a slight step back, I still think they're in position to be a top 10 defense. So in any year, whether you have Mahomes or not, if you're a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense, you're absolutely in play to once again hoist the Lombardi Trophy.
These first couple of games are always kind of tricky. The Chiefs opened up the season last year against the Lions, and they lost that game. Obviously, they didn't lose too many games in 2023, and they went on to win the championship. But what are the Ravens like coming into this season, the expectations on Baltimore right now?
So it's a new look offensive line. You know, they replace a couple pieces. I think everybody wants to see, you know, how effective is that? And then the big name, Derrick Henry, comes in. And in that AFC title game, the Ravens only ran the ball 6 times. And so that was a huge talking point after, like, why did they not run the ball against the Chiefs defense, who actually struggled a little bit against the run last year? The Chiefs were the 8th worst in yards per carry given up, and yet they only ran it 6 times. And so tonight, I think you're going to see, with the addition of Derrick Henry, the Ravens really try to aggressively run the ball, give some different looks, and we'll see how the Chiefs adjust from there. Other than that, the wide receiver room, you know, they still have Rashad Bateman. They still have Zay Flowers. Their defense is always one of the best defenses in football. I think this is a Ravens team that most would agree it's probably the second best team in the AFC. As the dust settles later on, maybe the Texans emerge. But right now, Chiefs, Ravens, heading into the season, that'd be your 1-2.
Let's talk about the Texans just a little bit, because I think there's a very strong possibility that the Texans can emerge this season. And C.J. Stroud was dazzling to watch last year. He's got 3 receivers that may have, you know, 10 touchdowns or more. So that might be a team to watch. I'm curious about your thoughts on the rest of the AFC beyond that as well.
Yeah, so I think with the Houston Texans, how do they handle the pressure of now being expected to win and all these primetime slots? A year ago, they were in no standalone games. Nobody was really paying attention to them. First-year head coach and all of that, as you laid out. And now there's real expectation to win their division, to maybe take that next step as an organization. They made some really nice moves in the offseason. Their defense, to me, got better with the addition of Danielle Hunter from Minnesota. And so I think Houston just needs to prove that they can handle the pressure that comes with it. But the talent is all the way there.
Yeah.
I mean, Tank Dell's back and healthy. Stephon Diggs is the addition. So I think Houston's in the mix. But Cincinnati, it comes down to Joe Burrow and whether or not you think he's healthy. If Joe Burrow's healthy, we see every year that he's been healthy, they've gone on deep runs. They beat the Chiefs, obviously, 1 year in the AFC title game. So for me, Cincinnati has the ability to once again emerge as the biggest challenger to Kansas City. But Joe Burrow has to stay healthy, and of course, Cincinnati will be here next week.
Yeah, he also has to get rid of that goofy hair. That might be a big, important part of his season. I'm just saying.
Hey, Alex.
Go ahead.
I wanted to hone in on the AFC West specifically. Obviously, like you said, the Chiefs, well beyond everyone else in that division. But is there anyone else at least that intrigues you that could potentially be making a push for the playoffs come later this year?
A lot of questions in that division, right?
There are, and I think it's the easiest division in football, though, guys. I think it's the least competitive division. You mentioned some questions. Look at Denver. They got a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix, and then even if he performs at a decent level, who's he throwing the ball to? Courtland Sutton, there's nobody else really in that offense. Then you look at the Las Vegas Raiders. Gardner Minshew is a starting quarterback. He's good for one surprise win or two a year. I think we've seen that, but we know the limitation as well. And then the Chargers, long-term, I think the hire of Jim Harbaugh is going to be fantastic for them, but they gutted that team a little bit. They had some aging guys they kicked out of town, and they probably needed to. But I think this is a rebuild year out there, even though Justin Herbert's still one of the best quarterbacks in football. So it's the AFC West, to me, is the least competitive division in the AFC. And when I look at some of the bets even out there, Mark, the sweep this AFC West goes 6-0 for the first time since 2022. That's actually a bet that I placed before the season.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Alex Gold with Kansas City 610 Sports Radio. Let's shift just briefly to the NFC. I cheat, Alex. I think I've told you this before. I love the Kansas City Chiefs. Been a fan for decades and decades since really the Cardinals left St. Louis. But I moved to Milwaukee in 1997 after Brett Favre won that first Super Bowl. And I was kind of a Packers fan as a kid, and I just got locked in. I married a Packers fan. So I'm really excited. We got back-to-back great games, the Chiefs and then the Eagles and the Packers tomorrow night. Now, we got questions about, you know, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles moving forward. A little disappointment, some, you know, rough moments between him and his coach last year. I don't know if they've settled that. And then you got, on the other side, Jordan Love, who seemed to emerge as a real, real potential star in the NFL when some of us who were Packers fans weren't quite sure about Jordan a year ago. So you got another great matchup tomorrow night with two teams that could be fighting it out for the NFC.
No doubt. And, you know, obviously being in Brazil would just be interesting in its own right with some of the issues down there. I'm fascinated just to see how they pull that thing off tomorrow night and hopefully everything goes well. As far as the on-the-field stuff with the Green Bay Packers, yeah, Jordan Love's, I think, confirmation game for a lot of people was the win against Kansas City.
Right.
We all remember
yeah.
that last year on Sunday night. And that was really impressive. I think that's when people really outside of Green Bay started to notice his performance. Now they add in Josh Jacobs. I love that addition if he can stay healthy. I still think he's someone that has something left on the tires there. My question for them is going to be still, what was it, an 8-9 game stretch from Jordan Love where he looked like one of the better quarterbacks in the league? I'm a little on the fence on if we can put him for sure in the top 10. Maybe after 2 or 3 weeks, that'll be an obvious thing. And we're saying, all right, well, of course he's there. But for me, I have him as like the 11th, 12th best quarterback in football.
I have questions. Look, I think that's wise to be a little bit leery right now because it was only one season. But certainly he looked comfortable, and I think there's offensive weapons that they have, which will be pretty effective moving forward. What else in the NFC? I mean, besides the Eagles and the Packers, what are you taking a look at? I mean, the Lions were so close last year. Obviously, disappointment from San Francisco. Both of those teams should be in the mix this season as well.
The fact the Lions were able to retain their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, who most people regard as one of the better young up-and-coming coaches in the league, and he didn't end up getting a head coaching job and had an opportunity to and stayed there, gives me plenty of faith that the Lions will be right back where they were in terms of, you know, top of the division. Do they get back to an NFC title game? I'm not so sure. I mean, even Dan Campbell acknowledged after the loss last year that, hey, we may never get back here. But they return just about everybody, and they retain their OC. So I think the Lions will be in the mix there. And then, of course, in that same division, let's stick with the NFC North. Everybody wants to see Caleb Williams, and what is he going to do this season? I'm skeptical that they have the right head coach in place to take the jump to a playoff spot. I have them as like an 8 or 9 win team, and them actually firing their head coach at the end of the year and hiring Ben Johnson, the OC from the Detroit Lions, as the head coach next year in Chicago. But I can't wait to see what Caleb Williams can do, because I do think he's the real deal. I just don't know if they have the right head coach in place.
What should be a fair expectation for the Bears? Obviously, they added a bunch of pieces, you know, to build around Caleb Williams here for the next couple of seasons. But what is a fair expectation for year one of this?
Yeah, so I don't think it's fair to automatically assume they're going to the playoffs. And I know a lot of people nationally are under that mindset, and it all is centered around, you know, Caleb Williams, who enters, admittedly, the best situation we've ever seen a rookie quarterback enter. I mean, think about the weapons around him. They draft Roma Dunze. They already had DJ Moore. They got Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen. I mean, they have the weapons in place there, and that defense was really good down the stretch when ultimately they found a way to win 7 games. So I think this is a team that's going to be right on the fringe, and people are going to be excited about. I mean, they open up against Tennessee in Week 1. I think that's the game they win, and so that'll fuel some more of the fire. But to me, realistic is that they're a fringe playoff team, and then they have momentum going into the following season, even if it is with a new head coach.
I just think that, you know, this is my concern about Caleb. There's no doubt that he's talented, and you can see the potential there. But you do have a pretty significant record, Pat Mahomes is included here, where quarterbacks kind of sit and they observe and they learn, and then they enter the league. Now, you know, we saw what C.J. Stroud did. Look, Jaden Daniels is going to start for Washington, and I think I'm going to be very curious to see how he performs as well. But typically, Alex, some of those quarterbacks that take a little bit more time perform better over the long term in the NFL.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They do. I mean, right here in Kansas City with Alex Smith in that scenario, everybody points to that as the way to do it. But I also think, you know, Mark, with the contracts now in the NFL and taking advantage of a guy on a rookie contract and just where the pressure is from a front office perspective and a coaching perspective, I think you're going to see more and more teams, certainly if you're the number one overall pick in Caleb's case, not do the whole sit behind thing. I know it worked for Jordan Love, but that's because Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback in front of him. And look, I think Patrick Mahomes would have been great his rookie year, guys, if he didn't sit behind Alex Smith. I'm not saying he didn't learn anything, but who's to say Mahomes wouldn't have put together the rookie year that C.J. Stroud just did? I mean, we'll never know the exact answer, but I find it hard to believe that Mahomes would have struggled his rookie year. Just like I don't think Caleb Williams is going to struggle, but if people are just judging him on win and loss, I don't think, you know, he's going to necessarily get to the same win mark that C.J. Stroud did.
So you and I, we don't have a lot of time to do this now. Maybe in the future weeks, we'll talk a little sports wagering and gambling on the NFL. But I probably mentioned this to you before. There was a show that was on Max last year, Bookie, and I can't remember exactly the scene when it happened, but there's a scene when someone's, because sports wagering in California is not legal, so it was basically centered around a guy who is a bookie, Sebastian Maniscalco. And Sebastian Maniscalco is in the car, and he's putting some bets together for a client. And at one point, you know, it's a parlay. I like to play parlays, and I think the quote is, he questions the dude that he's talking to and his betting strategy, and he goes, it's just hard to pick three things right in the NFL. And you wouldn't think that it is, but it is damn hard to pick three things, whether it's an over-under, win, covering the total. That's not easy. And you know what? It's a lot harder here in these first 2 weeks, I would say.
It is. You're right. Everybody wants to bet the NFL because it's the most popular sport going, and the NFL's king. But it's actually it is the toughest sport to bet on. It really is. Like it is so difficult to do. Everybody thinks they have all this knowledge and a good grasp on the league. But you said it. I mean, week one, too. We think we know exactly how this team is going to perform, and then there's also overreaction, and you got to be careful if you bet next week, like not to overreact because one team had a poor performance. So the benefit of that, I will say, is the books are also trying to figure out the same thing, right?
That's true.
So there's some opportunity where the lines haven't settled. By the time we get to week four or five, the books have also figured out, you know, so that's the name of the game, trying to figure out where you can find that edge, where you think a line is off already heading into week one.
Yep. Look, I look very much forward to Overreaction Monday. It's just around the corner after the opening games.
That's the best.
Have fun tonight, Alex Gold. I'm jealous. Chiefs Kingdom. Let's go, Chiefs. Threepeat around the corner. Take care.
Appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.